folks, this is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studio with another Watchman video broadcast. And poor Sid Roth. Seems like every time he puts a show out, puts it on all across the world with the satellite network and all that stuff, puts it on YouTube, seems like every time he puts something out, I listen to it and I'm just going, I gotta talk about that. Because I added some more content from where we left off last week. We're dealing with familiar spirits, 2 Chronicles 33. This is what Manasseh did. It says in verse 7, he set a carved image, the out of which he had made in the house of God. But he didn't just show up one day and do that. He had things that led him to that, and that's the premise of what we're looking into, is that he observed times, he used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. There's a list of 13 things here. We're not going to go back and repeat all that. We're dealing with the part of familiar spirits. And what I found out, when I started doing this research, I found out there's more familiar spirit involvement in what's going on today, and especially a lot of the false doctrine systems. There's more familiar spirit involvement than that, than I was previously aware of. And what we've kind of been looking into, the Catholic Church, these people are getting visions from the Virgin Mary or Jesus or one of these saints, and they're telling them, do this and do this and do this. Joseph Smith, the angel Moroni. We have Ellen White. We're going to talk about her. She had a visiting angel that showed her different things. Then I started finding out the roots of the Hebrew roots slash sacred name movement, because they kind of go hand in hand. All of them speak about, you have to speak Hebrew or you have to say the Hebrew sacred name. We dealt with that last week, all right? And we used Sid Roth and something that he said, and I'm going to use him again to sort of go into sort of a segue, as it were, from where we left off last week with showing you from the authority of the Word of God that the name of the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Jesus himself said it was the Lord. Jesus himself said that. Not the Greco-pagan Romanized occult writers of the New Testament. No, Jesus himself. And we laid out the evidence for that. So, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here's what I want you to do. When we're going to get into witchcraft and wizards a little bit later on, okay, we got a while. But I want you to think witchcraft. I want you to think of what witchcraft is. Witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, enchantments are those who do incantations. It's the idea that you speak a certain phrase or certain words like abracadabra, hocus pocus, which I found out. My friend Chris Pinto mentioned this in Fargo, when he was giving his speech, he said the phrase hocus pocus actually came from the Latin Catholic Mass, hocus corpus, which basically the priest magically, because he says the magic words, he magically turns this cookie, this little biscuit, into the dead body of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's where that comes from. And I'm going, okay, that's pretty cool. All right? But anyway, magic words. You say the magic words, and then all of a sudden, abracadabra, all of a sudden this turns into that, or this is that, and so on. You have the same thing when it comes to the Hebrew language, the Hebrew roots movement, them constantly referring to Yahushua and Yahuwah, and however they pronounce it. They always fight about how they pronounce it. But the idea that you must say it that way, or God really gets happy when you say His name in His language, in the language of Hebrew. He gets more happy with you saying it in Hebrew than He does with me saying it in English. Let me see. Where is that in my Bible? I never read that anywhere in the Scriptures. It's a bunch of hooey is what it is. And what it is, it's based upon, I'll show you in a little bit, it's based upon what Albert Pike talks about, Manly Hall, scores of others, Blavatsky, Crowley, they all used Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the four letters, what they call the tetragrammaton. They all use those four letters as a magical incantation, a magical device, a magical sigil, I think is how they pronounce it, some sort of magical sign that if those words are pronounced in the correct way, then, and I'm going to show you a quote, then that unleashes God's power on the earth, or some kind of nonsense like that. That's exactly what people say about the sacred name and about speaking Hebrew words. Here is a guy on Sid Roth's program, and I saw something on Sid Roth's program I've never seen before. It's been there, but I never saw it before. Okay? We're gonna cue the music here in a little bit. Get ready. Alright? So here is Sid Roth. This is a YouTube video. You can find it under this title, The Power of the Hebrew Language. John, he's got Rabbi, which you're not supposed to say. You're not supposed to call any man your master. Jonathan Burness on Sid Roth at Supernatural. And the topic is, Hebrew is a super language. That's what he says. Okay. In fact, here's a little transcript of what Rabbi, which you're not supposed to say. Jonathan Burness. Here's what he says about the sacred Hebrew language. And keep in mind, every visitor on Sid Roth's show always has a book or a video to sell. Sell. Always. What do you think Roth gets his money? What do you think? He just pulls that out of thin air like hocus pocus. Okay? No, it doesn't work for him. You gotta send in the money. He's gonna sell the book and the video. And to do that, he's got to get you hyped up in believing that whatever that guy or gal is saying is true. Think about it, okay? But anyway, watch this. They talk about Proverbs 18:21. Here is what Proverbs 18:21 says in the King James Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, that's just what the King James says. By the way, there is death and life in this book. Alright? That verse, I've seen that verse destroyed, misused, twisted, especially in the word faith movement, that they take that and then extrapolate from that this idea that you speak and whatever you speak happens because your mouth has creative power, just like God. You can say, let there be light, and there's light. You can say, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if it doesn't happen, well, obviously, there's some sin in your life that God won't do it because you didn't say the words right. Okay? See, that's witchcraft. That's what it is. You remember the show, Bewitched? Remember that? Remember Aunt Clara on there? Remember, she was always the bumbling witch. None of her spells, all of a sudden, she would say something, and there would be a unicorn in the bathroom, all right, or something like that. Why? She wasn't saying the words right. She didn't say all the magic words. She didn't recite the incantation. And if you don't recite the incantation correctly, then you're going to get bad mojo magic instead of what you want. That's what this stuff is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now watch what Burness does. They alter the text of the Word of God when they speak. Watch what he does. Burness changed it to, this is quote, power over life and death. He goes on to say, the tongue is a creative force. Stop right here. Says no Bible verse ever. God's Word is a creative force, not ours. The tongue is a creative force, and what separates us from all of God's creation is articulate speech. I believe, which should be subtitled, I have no verse to know that, but I believe that Hebrew as a language is a creative force. It is a super language. And then Sid Roth says, so what you're saying is, when we proclaim God's promises in Hebrew, you get the full meaning of what God meant rather than that one English word in our translations. Burner says, that's absolutely right. Now, here again, if they would have had Bible verses to say all that, surely they would have quoted them. But they don't. So you just have Burner saying, I believe Hebrew is a special language. It's a super language. I believe when you use Hebrew, it is a creative force. Now, you read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, read it all the way through, and I dare you to find that doctrine in this book. I dare you to find one verse in this book that says that. I need two. You won't even find one. So he didn't get that. He did not get that from here. It makes you wonder where he got it from. He got it from the Kabbalah, the Jewish mysticism, the rituals, the incantations. You see, there are Hasidic Jews to this day that when they go and meditate, you know what they do? They recite Hebrew verses. And they got to do it in Hebrew. They recite these Hebrew verses over and over and over again. That's what they call their form of meditation in order to get the Ein Sof, this great mystic God that nobody can ever know, that must come down to us by way of 10 divine beings, Yeshua HaMashiach being one of those divine beings, or the product of those divine beings. That sounds like Jehovah's Witness and Gnosticism. That God could not have created the earth because the earth is physical and God is spiritual. So he created a series of lesser demigods, which where he finally got one that could create the earth, and that was Jesus Christ. That's what the Gnostics believe. Where did they get it from? They got it from Babylon. They got it from Sumeria. They got it from the Canaanites, the Hittites, all the same people that the Jews got it from. They didn't get it from the Torah. They didn't get it from God in the Old Testament. They got it from these mystics that were in the land of Canaan, that were in the land of Shinar, that were in the land of Babylon. That's where they got it from. And then the advertisement. I didn't get to that part yet. The advertisement, when they break, because now they're going to sell the book. When the prophet spoke in Hebrew, God's word came to pass. And people are going, that's right. Wow. When the prophet spoke in Hebrew, what God had given them, it came to pass. That is like a special kind of stupid. That's not just ordinary stupid. That's a special kind. That's like kicking it up a few notches of stupid. Think about it. God's word always comes to pass. Always. It's His word. He has the ability to create and destroy with the power of His word. He delivered His word to the mouth of the prophets who were Jewish and who happened to speak Hebrew. So when they spoke the word of God, they spoke it in Hebrew, and the word of God came to pass. They want you to believe that it came to pass because it was spoken in Hebrew. But that's not why. It came to pass because it was the word of God. And so this whole program here is basically telling you, do what the Jewish mystics do. Quote Bible verses and repeat them over and over and over again in the Hebrew language. And in the sacred, holy, mystical, magical language, when you say these Hebrew words, then all of these things, every possible definition of one Hebrew word, it will all come to pass right on top of you when you speak it in the sacred language of Hebrew. Again, they did not get that from the Bible. They got it from mysticism. They got it from Jewish rabbis, which you're not supposed to call them that. Just like you don't call Catholic priests father. Call no man your father, for there's one your father. Call no man rabbi, for there's one master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So anyway, they didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from Jewish rabbis or Jewish mystics. They got it from guys who had been visited by familiar spirits. I'm going to show you that, okay? And I made the statement in last week's Watchman broadcast, and I stick by it. The Jesus of this Bible, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of this Bible, is not the same Yeshua HaMashiach of the Hebrew roots. I'm not saying that the real Messiah for the Jews is not the same as the Jesus Christ in this book. I'm not saying that, because they are. What I'm saying is, those who believe and promote the Hebrew roots doctrines, including the Jewish mystics, the Kabbalists, their HaMashiach is not the same as this Jesus. It is another Jesus. Consider our example that we've been using. And I've got haters on the internet that don't like me saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's right. Consider the case of Saul going to the woman of Endor who had a familiar spirit, and what she conjured up was a familiar spirit. It looked like Samuel the prophet, but it could not be Samuel the prophet. And the reason why it could not be Samuel the prophet is because God quit talking to Saul by the prophets. It says that specifically in the text of the Scriptures, right before Saul went to the woman at Endor. That's what the Bible says. I cannot believe outside of the bounds of what God said. That was a familiar spirit posing as Samuel. And the Messiah that the Jewish mystics are promoting through the Hebrew Roots cult, that Messiah is not the real Savior of His people Israel. It's not the same one. It's a false Christ, false Messiah. Okay? In fact, here's proof. Here's a book written by a Hebrew Rootist sacred name person called The Hebrew Yeshua versus the Greek Jesus, New Light on the Seed of Moses from Shem Tov's Hebrew Matthew. Now, there's all kinds of garbage on that title. I won't even touch most of it. But anyway, these guys themselves believe that the Greek Jesus, okay, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is not the same as the Hebrew Yeshua. And this Yeshua and Jesus are versus one another. They're in the ring. They're going to fight it out to the death till one of them wins. I already know which one will win. Okay? The Jesus of this Bible here. So they themselves are telling you that it's not the same one. Here's another here's another alert from Hebrew Rootist sacred name person who he doesn't like to be called that, but that's what he is. Here's what he said. Lord, this is in a video that he did. Okay? The video was called Rob Skiba, Baal or Yahweh, and it's a YouTube video. You can find it. Here's what he said. Lord, that's not the name of our God. Our God's name is not the Lord. I know your Bible says that, but that's not His name. Now, stop right here. The Bible is not my Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Inspired, preserved, correctly translated, it is the Word of God. This is not just some made-up thing, like what he's going to tell you. This has been the authority over God's people ever since Adam in the Garden of Eden. Ever since Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the two tables in his hands. Ever since they came back from Babylonian captivity and Ezra, the faithful scribe, had preserved those documents. Ever since Josiah, when the book was found, he rent his clothes because it was read to him that God's judgment was going to be upon Israel, and God stayed His judgment in the days of Josiah. Ever since Jesus Himself came down and said, if My words abide in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. Ever since Paul wrote it down, ever since John wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, even to this day, the Bible is the final authority on everything. He doesn't believe it. Let me read that again. Lord, that's not the name of our God. Our God's name is not the Lord. Now I want to stop right here. That I agree with. His God and the Lord are not the same. So I agree with him on that one. Our God's name is not the Lord. I know your Bible says that, but that's not His name. He then says, in our King James Bible, look it up, over 6,000 times, they replaced the name of our God with a generic title. That's a lie. No, they didn't. And we showed you that last week. It just so happens to also be the meaning of the name or the word Baal. Look, God has a name, and it's not the Lord. There's another God out there, little g, that is pronounced Baal, and his name does mean Lord or the Lord. My name is the Lord. That's what Baal means. So we have the holy name of our God replaced 6,000 times in our Bible with the word that it's not just the title, but the name for the Antichrist. The word Christ is too generic, just like God. That's exactly what he said in his video. And there are certain points that I would agree with. That his Yeshua is not my Jesus, and that his, whatever he calls him, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, is not my Lord. That I can agree with. Do you see the despicable attitude that he conveys toward this? He specifically mentioned the King James Bible. He hates this book. Oh, he says he uses it all the time, but he hates it. Because he accuses they, of replacing God's real name, his hidden name, out of the Bible with a generic title that the word Baal means that too. Yeah. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get you to think that if you say, like, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that what you're really saying is, whosoever shall call for Baal. That's what he's saying. He's trying to get you to think that if you don't say the Hebrew word, that the real Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, however he pronounces it, is not going to hear you. And you're in fact calling... He called my Savior the Antichrist. I don't like that. This book saved my life. This book saved my ministry. Saved my family. This book has kept me going when I wanted to give up and walk away. When I was at my worst, this book was at its best. And he called my Jesus from this book, the Antichrist. One of us is going to stand before God and answer to what we're saying here. One of us will. Now, the sacred secret that Sceva and others are referring to is what is referred to as the tetragrammaton. Tetra means four, gramma means letters, and ton is like a code or a law. Okay? Like the Necronomicon. The Necronomicon is a code book of magic performed towards dead people. Necros means dead. Okay? So, tetragrammaton, the four-letter law, or the four-letter code, the four-letter magic spell. Because to all of the occultists, I don't care where they come from, they all have and use the tetragrammaton, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, which Jesus said was Lord. Okay? But they use it as like a magic sacred spell. They even, watch this now. In fact, I'm going to, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to turn there. I've got it. I'm going to put it up on the screen. But I want you, when I get done showing you this, I want you to stop the video play, and I want you to read Romans 1. You can read however much of it you want on your own. And I want you to think about that. I want you to, you want to use the word meditate. That does not mean recite it over and over and over. It means read it and think about it and ask God questions. Muse it in your mind. Think on these things. Okay? That's what I want you to do. Romans chapter 1. Get ready. Because they take the magic tetragrammaton letters, and they make an idol. They make an image out of it. Okay? I got this from Manly Hall, Secret Teachings of All Ages, okay, which he went into all of the occult realm, all the mystery religions, including Jewish Kabbalah. They're part of it. And he said everybody all has this one big gigantic secret. They're all carrying little parts of it. But if you put the parts together, you get the whole of a mystery religion that's going to change the world and change everybody's DNA. Okay? So anyway, here's what Manly Hall said. The Tetragrammaton, or the four-lettered name of God, written thus, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, is pronounced Jehovah. The first letter is Yod, the germ, the life, the flame, the cause, the one, and the most fundamental of the Jewish phallic emblems. Its numerical value is 10, and it is to be considered as the one containing the 10. Stop right here. Can you think of something in the Bible that has 10, like toes? He says, in the Kabbalah, it is declared that the Yod is in reality three Yods, of which the first is the beginning, the second is the center, and the third is the end. By placing the four letters of the Tetragrammaton in a vertical column, a figure closely resembling the human body is produced, with Yod for the head, the first He for the arms and shoulders, Vav for the trunk of the body, and the final He for the hips and leg. Do you see what they do? And here's the thing. I'm just willing to wager 50 cents on the fact that a lot of you listening to me right now was told to read something by somebody or watch a YouTube video by somebody, or you were just looking around on Facebook and the internet and you went to a Hebrew root site, supposedly a Christian messianic Hebrew root site, where they took the letters Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh and they made a guy out of it, a dude. Okay, kind of like a stick figure guy. Right? You've seen that before, didn't you? You didn't know that that came from the Kabbalah. You thought that that was some secret mystical thing that God had encoded in the Old Testament, and we're just now finding out about it. Oh, praise Yahshua. That's what you thought, or that's what you were told to think. The truth of it is, it came around a long time before the Hebrew roots guys showed up. It was in the Kabbalah. 1,500, maybe 2,000 years ago. Maybe the Essenes did this back in the Dead Sea area. Okay? So what they did was, they accuse you, when you say Lord or God, that you're doing some sort of pagan ritual and you're destroying Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. They accuse you of that. And yet, they take the letters of God's name, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, and they make the figure of a man out of it. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, Hebrew roots, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Cue the music. Dun, dun, dun. That's what they did. That's what the Kabbalists, the Jews who hated Jesus Christ and who hated Paul and hated Peter and James and John for turning against their doctrine, and all the while they had changed by their traditions, by their laws and traditions, not the Old Testament, not by Moses' commandments, but by their traditions, they had changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. So they take his letters of his name, which are in the Hebrew Old Testament, inspired by God, and they make a little stick man out of it. They've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. See, I'm just telling you, where did they get this stuff? You never read in the Bible where God, the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, or anybody ever said, take the letters of my name and stand them up. Never. They didn't get it from the Bible. Where'd they get it from? They got it from familiar spirits. Okay? I'm going to keep moving along. I'm going to show you this stuff. There is an occult symbol called the Tetractus. It is the Tetragrammaton formed to make a magical symbol composed of a total of 10 letters in the human heart. Now I want you to take a look at this. Inside this little upside down topsy-turvy heart, they have the letters. At the very top of the triangle, it's Yod. The second layer is Yod He. Third layer is Yod He Vav. And then the fourth one is Yod He Vav He. So if you add those up, 4 plus 3 is 7, plus 2 is 9, plus 1 is 10. So the idea is that they took these letters, which God never said to do, and they put them in this little triangle construct. Is this ringing a bell with anybody? They took it and put it in that little triangle construct, and by writing it out this way, now you have 10. So the idea is that the 10 has been fused into the human heart. And that is, if you look there on the bottom, you have Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He. You know what that is? That is Jehoshua in Hebrew letters. That's what, Joshua was called Oshi by his father, the son of Nun. Numbers chapter 13, Moses changed his name to Yehoshua, or something like that, but the letters are Yod He Shin Vav He. So I want you to understand this. You're going, okay, isn't that Yeshua's name? Which one? Because you see, the addition of the Shin here, it's like taking the four and adding a fifth to it. In the occult realm, that's called the pentagram. You take the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and you add spirit to it, and you get the blazing star of Freemasonry is what it is. You get Hiram Abiff raised from the dead with the grip of the lion's paw. That's what that's all about. The Yahushua that they're referenced here in this little occult symbol is not the Messiah to the Jews, Jesus Christ. It's not him. It's the Antichrist. Because they take the Tetragrammaton and turn it into 10 letters, and the 10 now abides in the human heart. And once the 10 has mingled itself into the flesh of man, it produces Yod He Shin Vah He. Remember where that's from? Thou saw Daniel chapter. So there are, these are the 10 toes and the 10 horns of the beast, Daniel 2:41. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. That is those 10 letters inside of the human heart. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's what the Tetractus is teaching. It is the 10 inside of the miry clay of the human heart. They, the 10 toes, the 10 horns, the 10 kings, mingling themselves with the seed of men. And they say that is what's going to produce the Yahushua of the new age of the new world order. Okay? I want you to understand that. That's like the sons of God, divine beings, mingling themselves, marrying the daughters of men, Genesis chapter 6, and producing. What happens when you mingle the sons of God with the daughters of men? A child is born, a hybrid, who's going to be the Savior. You see it now? See what they're doing? See, you see what the familiar spirits talking to the Jewish sages, and the Jewish sages writing all their commentaries, and then later on grabbing hold of a few quote-unquote Christian ministers, luring them into this stuff, saying, speak Hebrew, say the sacred name, here's the Tetragrammaton, the ineffable name, which means we're not ever to pronounce it, which God never said, don't ever pronounce my name. God never said that. God never said that. He said, don't take it in vain. The Jews added, well, we won't say it at all then. We've never said the name of God. Okay, so they don't say it. God just said, don't take it in vain. But their idea, they started working, I believe, just like Paul dealt with in the Galatian churches. Certain men crept in unawares. They snuck in. Okay? And they brought in these Hebrew roots doctrines. Go back, yes, you can be saved if, as long as you're going to keep the Torah. And they started working on these people. And these guys, the Hebrew roots people, some of them actually admit that they're getting their teachings from the Midrash, the Zohar, and lots of others of these Jewish commentaries. They're getting their teachings in a roundabout way from familiar spirits. Look at this page here. All of these symbols are the Tetragrammaton in some sort of mystical, magical, occult symbol. You've got Kabbalah here. You've got there in the upper left-hand corner, Eliphas Levi. Here it is mixed with Eastern mysticism. There it is on the lower right-hand corner. Inside, you'll see it inside a lot of Catholic churches, the Tetragrammaton inside of a triangle with blazes of light coming out of it. Now you know what that is, don't you? It's not, they're not honoring the name of our God from the Word of God. They're using the four letters as a magical spell or a talisman of some kind to invoke whatever power. Think about the Antichrist, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So doesn't it make sense that the Antichrist will take on the sacred, holy, whatever name of the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh for himself? Because that's what the Bible says he does. Remember in Ezekiel 28, the prince of Tyrus says, I am a God, capital G, I sit in the seat of God, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. Okay? Here's another. Albert Mackey. Albert Mackey wrote the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. He wrote a volume called The Symbols of Freemasonry. And I want you to get this about what Masons see in the Tetragrammaton. Take a look at it. By the way, here's a little book. Tetragrammaton, The Secret to Evoking Angelic Powers and the Key to the Apocalypse. And see what they did? They made the little stick man. They took the glory of the uncorruptible God and made an image like unto corruptible man. Here's what Albert Mackey said. The Kabbalists believed about the Tetragrammaton. The Kabbalists and Talmudists have enveloped it in a host of mystical superstitions. He's talking about the sacred name, Tetragrammaton. They say that it is possessed of unlimited powers and that he who pronounces it shakes heaven and earth and inspires the very angels with terror and astonishment. Thus, the ineffable name itself, of which we have been discoursing, is said to have been preserved in its true pronunciation by the Essenes, who, in their secret rites, communicated it to each other only in a whisper, and in such form that while its component parts were known, they were so separated as to make the whole word a mystery. Here's what he's saying. The Essenes claimed that they had the correct pronunciation of the ineffable, sacred, holy Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh name. But even at that, one person of the Essenes, one of the ritualistic leaders, he only knew a portion of how to pronounce it. And when he was going to pass that on to one of his disciples, he would whisper it. And then only a portion of it, so that this disciple only had a piece of how to say the name, and then that got scattered. And so that's why you have all these different cult groups, sacred name Hebrew roots people, they don't all agree on how to pronounce it. Actually, it's just quite simple. It's the Lord. You see, they don't believe that. They don't believe the Bible. Okay? So they all have different variations on how they all pronounce it. It's because, according to them, that sacred, mystical, how you pronounce that name is so powerful that if you pronounced it the right way, it would shake heaven and earth. I think there is a reason why the sacred name in the Hebrew roots and the Kabbalists, at some point, they want that sacred name pronounced correctly so they can shake heaven and earth. What's going to happen when this name is pronounced and heaven and earth shakes? What's going to happen? Do you know? I do. Hebrews 12:25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And let's look at what happens in Revelation when you shake heaven. And I beheld when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. That's a shaking. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Do you get that? They're saying that when the unmentionable name of God is pronounced correctly, that it's going to shake heaven and earth. According to the Bible, when heaven and earth shakes, the falling takes place. That's what that just said. The angels, a third of the angels, are going to fall from heaven as a fig tree loses her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. God is going to shake this earth, and He's going to shake heaven, and everybody that is lost and on the devil's side is going to fall on that day. What they're telling you is that in the day that we pronounce this sacred holy name, we're going to fall. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, folks. For that, I had the word first in my mind, because that day will not come except there come a falling away when? First. You see how this Bible is exposing what's behind the door of the Hebrew Roots and Sacred Name movement, and of a truth, their Yahuwah and Yahushua HaMashiach is not the same as our Jesus Christ and the Lord our God. It's not the same. They're two different. You want more proof? Take a look at this. I used this several years ago. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Because I asked the question one time, because they say that Jesus spoke Hebrew or Aramaic. John was a Jew, therefore he spoke Aramaic. And the apostles were all Jews. They spoke Hebrew, Aramaic. And so they would have written their books down in Hebrew and or Aramaic. I have an Aramaic English New Testament, which, you know what they did? They translated the Aramaic from English back into Aramaic. Okay? That's what they did. Or from Greek or whatever. Anyway, they're saying that all the original New Testament writers would have written in Hebrew or Aramaic. And that all of those Hebrew and Aramaic documents were destroyed by the evil Greco-pagan Romanized Kabbalah heathen people. The Gentiles destroyed them all and rewrote them all in Greek, and they left out all the sacred name doctrines and how we need to keep Torah and stuff like that. That's why when you just read the King James Bible, like Rob Skiba said, you're going to get all confused because you'll say, well, it looks like here that I don't have to keep the law. That's because they rewrote it in Greek and they destroyed the real Hebrew roots of the New Testament. See, that's where they get you. And it occurred to me, and I'm going, well, wait a minute. If Jesus really was intending that the New Testament would have been originally in Hebrew, why then did he identify himself to John in the book of Revelation as the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet and not the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet? Well, it just so happens that according to the sacred name in the Hebrew roots people, he did. Now, not according to any document or any manuscript that we have, not according to that, but according to what they made up, Jesus would have said it in Hebrew, and John would have written it in Hebrew. Therefore, it did not, or it would not have said Alpha and Omega. It would have said Aleph Tav. And so you look here. Even Joseph Prince falling into this. Aleph Tav, Jesus' signature in the Bible. The Aleph Tav and the Hebrew roots and the sacred name people all have it in their mind that Jesus originally said, I am the Aleph Tav. And that, of course, you know, there's some real secret, mystical, cool thing in the Bible that us English-speaking pagans have thrown out years ago. And we'll never know it until we go speak Hebrew. And when we speak Hebrew, then we'll have that power super language and all these things that God said that he was going to do will be done because we said the Hebrew magic words. It's all witchcraft, people. It all is. But I want you to notice a little symbol here. The Aleph Tav, and what looks like an X, and what looks like the symbol of the Texas Longhorns. I mean, take a look at that, right? Here's what the teaching is on the Aleph Tav. Get ready. The ancient Hebrew pictograph, let me stop right here, said no Bible verse ever. There is no scripture anywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, Greek, or Hebrew, that defines and tells you that every Hebrew letter has a secret picture meaning to it. That did not come from the Bible. That did not come sola scriptura, only from the scriptures. Where did it come from? Hebrew roots, sacred name, got it from Jewish mystics who got it from familiar spirits. That's where they got it from. Ancient Hebrew pictograph for the letter Aleph is an ox head, meaning strength or God, as in, the Lord is my strength. The pictograph for the letter Tav is two cross sticks, meaning a mark, think about it, or covenant. Therefore, when Jesus says, or I should say, when he would have said, I am the Aleph and the Tav, what he is saying is that he is the mark of God or God's signature. When God has Moses write the Aleph and the Tav into Genesis 1:1, what God is saying is, you see, this Jesus, he is the Messiah who is going to die on the cross for your salvation. He is the Creator who was in the beginning. He is the shepherd prophesied about in the Old Testament. He is my word. He is my covenant. He is my signature. Wow, I didn't know that those two letters said all that. They don't. They don't. That was just made up. That was made up to get you, as you say you're a believer in Jesus or Yeshua, that is a teaching to get you to think that the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew words all have sacred, secret, mystical, magical powers and meanings that were never translated into your Bible. That's what that's for. Now, again, the Jews, who I love, and God is going to save them in the last days. If you think I'm anti-Semite, I'm more Semite than you Hebrew roots people. Because what I refuse to do is nod in their direction and say they were right all the time. That's going to perpetuate their blindness. What God is going to do is use the Gentiles who are saved and glorified by grace through faith alone without the works of the law. And it's going to provoke Israel to jealousy. It's going to provoke the Jews to jealousy that we Gentiles keep living like Gentiles and we still go to heaven. And they've been hated for thousands of years and cast away by God. It's going to provoke them to jealousy. It's going to cause them to cry out unto the Lord. So I actually love them more than you think I do. See, I've been accused of being anti-Semitic because I teach against the Hebrew roots. And what I'm telling you is, I'm going to stick with the doctrine of grace by faith and not of the works of the law to provoke Israel to jealousy. And it will happen. That's what God said. I'm going to call a people who are not my people. That's us. But here again, the Jewish sages have taken, well, they want you to believe it's the most holy, ineffable name and we can never pronounce it. Now I want you to think about that statement. What that means is they will never call on the name of the Lord to be saved because they have excluded it from all of their conversation. They took it out. They don't want to say it. Okay? But here, once again, they've taken the letters of the sacred name of God, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, or let's say the Aleph, the Hebrew alphabet, which they say is God. The Aleph, they say, is God, and its pictograph represents an ox. Here, once again, they've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, not into the image of corruptible man this time. Thus, they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. And that's what they did. By imagining that the Hebrew letter Aleph represented an ox, and then by them saying that Aleph represents God, they have changed the glory of God into an ox that eateth grass. Paul said they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image of four-footed creatures, which is what an ox is. Both Old and New Testament speak against this magical mystery thing of the Aleph Tav, and that it represents an ox. You want to worship the ox? Go ahead. Didn't work out for the people at the base of Mount Sinai, though. Here's another website. The question, did Yahshua, the Messiah, they're saying it wrong. It's not Yahshua. Did Yahshua, the Messiah, first appear as an infant in a manger, or was he a created being in the Old Testament? Answer. We believe Yahshua was a created being according to Revelation 3:14, where he is called the first of the creation of Yahweh. That's not in Revelation 3. Anyway, Proverbs 8 is an entire chapter that speaks of Yahshua. In verse 22 we read, Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his way. Possessed means made, from the Hebrew kana, so on. The Tanakh translates possessed in Proverbs 8:22 as created. They're trying to tell you that God created Jesus. See? God is this great big spirit in the sky who cannot create flesh and material world, so he had to go through 10 emanations. When he got to the 10th one, whom he created, that was Yahshua. Yahshua made the heaven and the earth. That's the same teaching. Then in Proverbs 8:23 we read, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. Set up means brought into existence. The Tanakh reads, in the distant past I was fashioned, at the beginning, at the origin of the earth. See how they change the image of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. They're changing. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, according to Romans 1. Micah 5:2 tells us that Yahshua's beginnings are rooted in the ancient past. The Tanakh says, whose origin, starting point of creation, is from old, from ancient times. By the way, the NIV says the exact same thing, but not the King James Bible. Joel, Amos, Micah, chapter 5. Let me read it to you in this Bible. In their version of it, including the NIV, Jesus was a created being because he had a beginning, an origin. Here, the Bible says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Which means he always was. When God created in the beginning, Jesus already was. And he is and always shall be. Because that's what he said. I am the Alpha Omega. I am he who was and is and shall be always. From everlasting to everlasting. Not created. Not created. Didn't have a beginning. Didn't have an origin. Didn't have a creation. He always was, is, and shall be. See? I'm just telling you. They're Yahshua. See, they don't say it right. It's Yahushua, guys. They're Yahushua. Is not the same one that I believe in. It's not the same one I preach, and it's not the same one that in this Bible. You're going to have to decide whose side you're going to be on. And so, by the way, you'll see a lot, you'll read their doctrinal statements. The ones like Staley's and Rabbi Kahn, the Harbinger fame and fortune, they'll make it sound like that they believe that Jesus is God. What a lot of them say on their doctrinal statements, and I can't bring exactly to mind who says this, they all have something like, we believe that Jesus is the Elohim. We believe that Yahshua is was the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh of the Old Testament. Sounds good, right? Here's how one website explains what that really means. Yahshua's goings forth are from old, from everlasting. He is the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things, and his Father loved him before the creation of the world, for he came down from heaven, and he came out of the Father, and he leaves the world to go to the Father. By now you are beginning to get a clearer understanding of the relationship between the Father and the Son. When we restore the sacred names, here we go, get ready for it, and the proper terms such as Elohim instead of God, back into the scriptures, they bring forth clarity. Notice the now. Let me just show you this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. They'll call them like the, we've restored the names. They were taken out by the Greek pagans who copied the new, the renewed covenant from Aramaic and Hebrew into Greek. They took them all out. Well, we restored them all. Because you're not going to find them in any ancient manuscript ever. The oldest manuscripts that we have, even the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus use the word Lord. Okay? The oldest ones in existence use the word Lord. Okay? But they say that the evil Greeks took them out and we have restored them all. And when we restore them and inject them back into the renewed covenant, here's what happens. Get ready. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. Are you catching this? The Word was Elohim. Now you might think that they're saying the same thing, that He's God. Hang on. The Word is Yeshua the Messiah who became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then it says, let's look at John 1, 1 and 2, paraphrase, so as to provide you with clarity. John 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was Yeshua, and Yeshua was with Yahweh, and Yeshua was Elohim. Notice that it doesn't say that Yeshua was Yahweh. It says Yeshua was with Yahweh, and Yeshua was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. With a solid understanding of John 1, verses 1 through 2, as well as the myriad of other scriptures you have just read, you should now understand the following scriptures. They go on to say, furthermore, in our English versions where we see God, in the original Hebrew text is the word Elohim. When referencing the Father or the Son, the word Elohim has been incorrectly translated as God. God is an appropriate interpretation when referencing false gods. However, it is a poor choice when referencing the Father or the Son. The appropriate translation when referencing the Father or the Son would be Mighty One or Almighty or Mighty Ones. Elohim is generally plural, Mighty Ones, depending on the context in which it is used. By returning to the original text as closely as possible, much of the confusion is erased and clarity of doctrine comes forward. With these understandings, I continue. Our Heavenly Father, Yahweh Elohim, created Yeshua Elohim before the foundations of the world, making Yeshua the beginning of all creation and the firstborn over all creation. He was also the firstborn from the dead, which references His resurrection, whereas being firstborn over all creation references His pre-existence. They're saying that Yeshua being Elohim does not mean that He was God. It just means that He was a mighty God. A mighty one. You know, Genesis 6, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And then, Genesis 10, Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. They just equated their Yeshua with the giants and with Nimrod. That's not my Jesus. No, sir, that's not. It's a trick. They're trying to convince you that the Jewish Messiah, and see, this is the whole core of the Hebrew Roots movement. We need to get back to the understanding that the Jews had of who Yeshua, the Mashiach, was going to be. Whatever they understood Him to be, when they looked at Jesus, they went, "You're not the Messiah. Let's kill this guy." They got it wrong. And you're telling us that we're supposed to go back and listen to them when they're blinded in part? And can only see the Old Testament. And there's a veil over the Old Testament every time they read it. So how is it that they have a better understanding who the Messiah is? They don't. What they have an understanding is that their Messiah is going to turn out to be the Antichrist, or the being that they referred to as Adam Kadmon. Take a look at these two images. This is the Sephiroth, the Tree of Life. I want you to notice that it's made up of opposites, polar opposites, white and black, male and female, yin and yang, okay? Good and evil. This is not the Tree of Life in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, fused together, positive and negative, coming together, okay? Lightning connecting heaven and earth. Because the teaching is, look at the one on the, notice that the one on the left has like the ghost figure of a man in it, right? That's because if you look at the one on the right, they have this figure of a man that they believed when Yahweh has relations with his Shekinah, they believe that that's what creates Messiah, Yeshua, Messiah. Because they believe in the Messiah, they just don't believe the right one. And really what this is, I want you to notice on this tree of life, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 circles on both of them. There's an 11th circle that's hidden that represents what happens when these 10 divine beings mingle themselves with the 22 paths, which is the 22 amino acids of our DNA, the seed of men. That's what the tree of life is. It is the 10 toes of the Iron Kingdom mingling themselves with the seed of men, bringing in the fourth kingdom on the earth, the kingdom of the Antichrist. They're saying that when these guys fuse with human beings, that's going to produce the Messiah. Folks, it's a setup. It is a lie wrapped around a riddle surrounded by an enigma. I got that from JFK. Okay? That's what that is. They will not explain, how can I put this? They will wrap your head around Hebrew words and idioms and make you think that's what God really intended. But the truth of it is, they still worship Baal and Ashtaroth, the two joining together, the god and the goddess, fusing themselves together in Hieros Gamos, sacred marriage, sacred sex, because that's what they believe. That, oh, by the way, if you look at these two again, let's say that the Yahweh is the white fire and the Shekinah is the black fire. And those two together on the same page is what reveals the real secret of the Torah. And the whole Hebrew Roots movement wants you to jump back to Mount Sinai to get what they say is the revealed Torah, the written Torah, and the unwritten Torah. And that is going to produce the Messiah. Now, I've done this before, I'm going to do it again. We're going to close with this, and I'll give more detail next week. Let's go to Jim Staley. I about fell out of my chair when I saw this. Before he went to prison, Jim Staley did a teaching called The Trinity on Trial. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Okay? So what he's going to do, he's going to explain the proper Hebraic version, how they understood the Trinity, which they didn't. They didn't understand it because they had no concept that Jesus, who is part of the Godhead, would be God. They didn't believe it. So, Jim Staley now, not from the Bible, He's drawing his teaching from the Zohar, the Kabbalists, those who have fathered the Hebrew Roots movement. And I'm going to show that to you. This is where he gets it from. He didn't get it from here, didn't get it from the Bible. He got it from the Zohar. He's the one that taught about the white fire and the black fire being divorced. And that put me on. I'm going, where is that from? Found out it was in the Zohar, the Kabbalah. So then he gets his idea of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son from the Kabbalah. Because he talks about the Trinity on trial, and I'm going to show you what he put on the screen. Right here. This is from his YouTube video. He says, see this tree of life here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? The yin and the yang mingled together, the white fire and the black fire, the male and the female. He actually says that God is on one side. He's one of the outside pillars. And the female Holy Spirit is on the other side, the other pillar, the Shekinah. And, yeah, they did that. And produced their Yahshua. Yeah, I'm angry. It bothers me. Because I know who my Redeemer is. I know where my Jesus came from. And he didn't come from the sacred marriage of Yahweh and Shekinah. He doesn't come from Baal and Ashtaroth. He's not some secret understanding that only the Jews know. The Jews were cast aside by God because of their hard-heartedness and their unbelief. He got tired of them. He divorced them. Cast them aside as a menstruous cloth. And then he went and found, because he invited the Jews to the wedding. And they were all too busy to come. So then he said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them who will come. And they found me. And they said, you can come to the marriage supper. And I'm going, me? Yeah. God wants you to be there. I know who my Redeemer is. I know who the Messiah is. I know who the Christ is. I know who Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, is. I know that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I know that because that's what my Bible says. And these guys want to start teaching against this book. See, they hate it. They hate the Bible. They especially hate what Paul said because it gets in their way. That's why they have to rewrite everything like Romans and Galatians and Hebrews. They hate it. And just like the Jews of the day hated Paul, the Hebrew Roots people hate what Paul said in this Bible. And I'm telling you, people, the way of the cross, the way of salvation is recorded in here. These people know nothing of it. I may not be convincing those of you who are already, maybe even people I've mentioned, I may not be convincing you. All you are is ticked off at me. But I hope to reach out to somebody who is just on the verge of being fooled by this nonsense and showing you where they really got their stuff from. Next week, I'm going to show you what Jim Staley said about this image being Yahshua. And then I'm going to show you the guy that wrote the Zohar, the guy that they called the Ari, the lion. I'm going to show you these Jewish mystic rabbis and who they were talking to when they got their doctrine. Okay? That's coming next week. Be ready for it. Be praying for it. A lot of things going on and a lot of activity spiritually working against me. Okay, so just pray for us. All I'm asking you to do is just pray for us. Pray for me every day and pray for this ministry. If you love what we said, then pray for us. If you don't like what I said, I'll pray for you. Okay, this is the truth. Amen. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.